אתם עם SBS בעברית. And now we are joined by Shane Zyatnik from the Australian Jewish News. Hi, Shane.
Hi, Matt. How are you going?
In Melbourne, still trying to recover from the three extremely hot days we had last weekend. How's Sydney weather treating you?
Yeah, it's been all right in Sydney, yeah. But I heard about the heat wave in Melbourne and there were some Jewish teams playing cricket and also footy down there in the heat. But well done to all of them. It would have been pretty tough.
Yep, and to the main stories of this week's edition, the Australian, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council called for the government to stand firm and not follow what is called mistakes by Canada and Sweden. And I'm talking about the suspension of the $6 million in UNRWA funding. Shane, it's in your main headline. What can you tell us?
Yeah, sure. So on our front cover, we have a story as pressure builds within the Labor Party. There is speculation, a backflip is imminent on the government's suspension of the $6 million in UNRWA funding. It comes as Foreign Minister Penny Wong, addressing the humanitarian situation in Gaza, told a business lunch in Sydney last Tuesday that unless Israel changes its course, it will continue to lose support. Australia joined several countries in suspending funding in late January to UNRWA, in the wake of reports that 12 UNRWA staffers participated directly in the October 7 atrocities. But amid a worsening humanitarian situation on the ground, there have been calls within the Labor Party for this funding to be reinstated. And the possibility of unfreezing the funds comes after Sweden and Canada lifted their previous aid suspensions to UNRWA. So there's been a bit of a reaction here, of course. The Executive Council of Australian Jewry co-CEO Peter Wertheim said, while the roof body of Australian Jewry favours the provision of aid to civilians who are in desperate need in Gaza, it is totally opposed to the use of UNRWA to do that. Wertheim said, UNRWA is so intimately connected to Hamas that no level of external control has been able to prevent large quantities of aid from being commandeered by Hamas at the expense of Gazan civilians. He also said it would be irresponsible to waste Australian taxpayers' money. He said instead, Australia could contribute to the US effort to establish a temporary floating pier in Gaza to deliver aid supplies to civilians there directly and bypass UNRWA. There's also been some reaction from Labor Friends of Israel co-convener Mike Kelly, who urged caution to Penny Wong on that matter, and also from the Australian, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council, which has called for the government to stand firm and not follow what it called mistakes made by Canada and Sweden.
Thanks for the update, Shane. This week, Muslims mark the beginning of Ramadan, and in West Sydney, a speech made by an imam in a mosque with some inappropriate comments on Jews. Shane, what can you tell us about this?
Sure. So an Australian imam has delivered a sermon in a Lekemba mosque calling Jews a criminal, barbaric, tyrannical enemy and praising jihad as the only solution, quote, for the sake of Allah. A sermon which was delivered by Sheikh Abdul Salam Zood last month at the Masjid As-Sunnah Mosque and published on its Facebook page has been translated by the Middle East Media and Research Institute and uploaded to its website. It is the latest in a series of incitement-filled speeches by Islamic preachers in Australia since October the 7th. Zood told the congregation in Western Sydney that jihad is the only solution when it comes to the infidels and that Palestine will only be restored by jihad. Liberal Senator Dave Sharma called his speech disgusting and un-Australian and added, if it is not unlawful, it should be. It crosses that line from free speech into inciting violence. Co-CEO of Executive Council of Australian Jury Peter Wertheim said current laws around hate speech and inciting violence do not offer enough protection and should be reformed. And President of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies David Office said, if we are serious about maintaining the communal cohesion and harmony we all treasure, we surely cannot tolerate hate preachers poisoning the minds of their adherents by vilifying other Australians and calling for jihad.
And unfortunately, it doesn't stop there. There are some more incidents across the country, Shane.
Yeah, more along those lines, unfortunately. In the Blue Mountains last week, at famous Scenic World tourist attraction, there was a man wearing a jersey that on the back celebrated the October 7 Hamas-led massacre. The Executive Council of Australian Jewry co-CEO Alex Rivkin said, we're living in a time when individuals feel they can publicly declare their support for the mass murder, rape and torture of Jewish people with pride and impunity. And it's a disturbing societal development that threatens to become normalised by these type of things. New South Wales Premier Chris Minn commented on the matter and said that kind of behaviour is absolutely reprehensible. Switching to the Northern Territory, Northern Territory Police Minister is under fire for a historic Facebook post quoting Nazi General Erwin Rommel. The reshared post from August 2013 is one of a number of controversial posts that have come to light amid the backdrop of an investigation into racism in the Northern Territory's police force. Mary Banfield from the Northern Territory Jewish community said, as a community, we are mortified not only by his anti-Semitic comments, but deeply horrified over his homophobic, racist and misogynistic posts and his use of hate speech, and we deserve better from our political representatives. Executive Council of Australian Jewry co-CEO Alex Rivkin has labelled author Randa Abdel Fattah, who participated in the doxing of 600 Jewish creatives last month, as, quote, an odious extremist, after Abdel Fattah posted on Instagram last Thursday, quote, if you are a Zionist, you have no right to cultural safety. Now, Rivkin said, called it an extraordinary piece of deceit that places a target on the back of virtually every Jew. He said, she will deny she hates Jewish people. She will tell us all about all the Jewish friends she has. But anyone with any awareness of what anti-Semitism is and how it works knows what this person is. And lastly, on that same kind of topics,
okay.
Executive Council of Australian Jewry has lodged a complaint with the ABC after the taxpayer-funded broadcaster interviewed an activist at a protest without divulging that she is facing charges for distributing extremist material. Habiba Jaguri was interviewed by the ABC in Adelaide earlier this month, where a group of anti-Israel activists had gathered in the city adjacent to a Never Again Is Now rally against anti-Semitism. The anti-Israel group attempted to drown out the speeches at the main rally, and police have alleged Jaguri produced and distributed extremist material in October last year that went beyond political speech and into the realm of threatening comments. And the matter came before the court in February, but has not been finalised. Jaguri is the former editor of the Uni of Adelaide's On Dit magazine, and in August 2022, she wrote, quote, death to Israel in an article and taunted Jewish students with a chant at a subsequent Student Representative Council meeting. And she was stood down as editor of that publication in September that year. An ABC spokesperson said the story featuring Jaguri was removed from its website once the ABC became aware of the charges against Habiba Jaguri.
Thanks for the update, Shane. And you can read more about these stories on this week's edition of the Australian Jewish News. Now, Shane, enough with bad news. Let's move on to some other positive news. Anything happening on the positive side of things?
Yes, yes.
Oh, good.
So the Union for Progressive Judaism, in coordination with the Australian Reform Zionist Association, has launched its first ever solidarity mission to Israel, a 9-day visit to hear firsthand about the events and repercussions of October 7. The UPJ co-presidents Danny Hochberg and Larry Lockshin emphasised that the May 3rd to 10th mission will offer opportunities for volunteering to aid people impacted by the events of October 7, including projects in agriculture, at hospitals, and helping out with IDF personnel. There will be visits to southern Israel, of course, to meet with survivors, heroes and families of hostages, and the group will meet with leaders of government and of national institutions. During their stay, they'll connect with key figures and shuls in the Israel Movement for Progressive Judaism, which Hochberg described as being at the forefront of resilience that Israelis are showing. And he recounted his own volunteering visit to Israel in the immediate aftermath of the terrorist onslaught. He said, "I can speak from experience when I say that Israel desperately needs and appreciates diaspora Jews coming to the country, being with them, volunteering, and understanding the challenges they face." He added, "In 2022, more than 2.6 million tourists came to Israel, but unfortunately, since October 7, this has dropped to virtually zero." So he said, "By coming, by committing to coming to Israel for trips like these, or just individual trips, you're making an enormous difference to both the economy of Israel as well as the spirit of Israelis."
Okay, now let's move to some sports. We haven't done sports for a while. Tell us what's news.
Yeah, so what's happening in Melbourne? So last Sunday in the heat, the footy was tough, the heat scorching, but there was a friendly vibe and carnival atmosphere at the AFL International's 2024 Harmony Cup at Livingston Reserve in Cranbourne. And it made the participating teams representing all nine nations all feel like winners. And for the first time since the tournament's inaugural year back in 2004, Team Israel, which is actually comprised of players from Ajax Footy Club, they finished with a trophy in hand after winning the men's second division grand final by 4 points over Team Nauru. The team, led by captain Zev Aron and vice captain Eitan Potash, wore jerseys featuring a white dove and a Star of David. Aron, who was named man of the match in the grand final, said when Amir Mayerovic's second goal got us in front with 4 minutes left, we were able to hang on. And apart from the footy side of things, he said, it was just really nice to be able to share our different cultures from different nations together through the Harmony Cup with people who we wouldn't normally get the chance to interact it with. And to top it off, he said, we got to see the Cook Islands team perform a traditional haka, which was always good to watch. Mm-hmm. And just briefly, this Sunday, Maccabi Tennis Club, Maccabi Victoria Tennis Club, which is believed to be the oldest remaining Jewish sport club in Australia, is celebrating with an open day its 100th anniversary at its modern East Bentley Clubhouse. The free event will feature an exhibition match between former Federal Treasurer Josh Frydenberg, who not many people would know, but he was actually the club's men's singles club champion on five occasions in the 1990s, and he will be playing 2023 club champion James Ocklander. There'll be speeches, a lot of reminiscing by some members of the club going all the way back to the 1950s who will be coming to this event. And it's just wonderful to think that a Jewish sport club is now 100 years old and still thriving.
Beautiful. Wishing another 100 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Shane Ziatnik from the Australian Jewish News. Thank you so much for the report.
Yeah.
Speak to you next week.
Yep, talk soon. Thank you. רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.